Six is the center of the whole thing. I just want to say also that some of the types get bashed a bit in the Enneagram world. Like, I always want to be a heartful defender of the threes that get shamed a lot in the Enneagram world. I hope we've done them a service. All the types do in different ways. Sixes, I think it's also just something in sixes that sixes have a real hard time seeing what's good about themselves. It's a very curious thing. The rest of us sure see what we love about you, but you know, sixes have a harder time with this. So I like to dwell a little bit on what is amazing here. So the core of six, well, let me put it this way. Nothing that we're talking about would be possible without it. It is the quality of awakeness itself, that we can be awake. Think of how amazing it is that you can be awake to things, notice things, take in experiences, recognize stuff. The fundamental awakeness of the soul itself, which is a grace of God, the awakeness, right? And that in that state of awakeness, you notice everything. You know what's here and what isn't here. You can see what's real and what's your delusional thoughts. You can also feel very directly in that awakeness, this presence all around you and in you that gives you an unshakable courage to just take your place and walk your walk in the world. However things may look in a moment, you know in your being that that's not the deepest truth, that what's actually here is this ocean of wakefulness, this presence, and that's what you and I actually are at the deepest level, right? We see that in each other. And so when you know that, you can do what you got to do in life. And it's here also that we see most profoundly that awakeness is like where we recognize what we would call guidance, wisdom coming through. It's not the illumination of reality and truth like the five, but it's a close cousin. It's more like knowing whether to turn left or turn right. It's more like knowing what to say and what not to say. It's a kind of intelligent relatedness to reality as it's happening now that gives me the ability to operate as a warrior of spirit. That's pretty good, don't you think? I was sharing with some people at lunch an image I often use when I'm teaching people about six that I adore is the Lord of the Rings. That Professor Tolkien, I believe, was a six, and his story is all a paean to teamwork, loyalty, serving the highest good, you know, no matter what, perseverance, that's a big six quality. And I was sharing at lunch the very perfectly six moment where Gandalf, the wise authority figure, comes up to little Frodo, the little hobbit, there's a little hobbit in all of us, and says to him, well, Frodo, this is the great ring of power, the source of all evil in the world, and you're responsible for it. And what is little Frodo's reaction? Take it. Come, not me. No, you got to do it. You're a big wizard. I don't know anything. I'm just a little guy. Please. And then he stops and goes, what must I do? That's the six. This is the part of us that is also understanding. Thank you. That we're here to fulfill something. We're on a mission. Ones get that mission thing. But I think ones sort of err on the side of assuming they know what it is a little prematurely, right? And sixes are on the side of pretty much actually knowing what it is, but coming up with a lot of rationalizations so why they can't do it. Well, you know, I've got kids and I've got bills to pay and I got this to do and all this presence business. I don't know about that. I'm a blah, 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 blah. Right. Why I'm saying that is that's in the direction of the passion. Because when we lose that sense of the awakeness, the support of that presence and awakeness and the sense of true orientation, that's what this brings. It's like an inner gyroscope. You know what's what. You know where true north is. You know where you're going when you're in touch with this. Even though you don't know it cognitively, you're just with that in a silent way. You're just walking your path and you know you're taken care of. You know what I'm talking about? We have moments of this. And sometimes we have whole important parts. It often comes out when the proverbial you know what has actually hit the fan. A lot of sixes doubt themselves. There's actually a crisis. Suddenly this other person shows up and takes care of business and does a great job. But then the waters close in again and I forget. And I think I'm this bumbling person again. Huh? God. It's always here, and it's always you. Now, as we lose presence, that awakeness shifts into a very close cousin, vigilance. Suddenly, it goes from being awake to, what's here? What's here? What's going on? What's entered the picture? Anxiety, fear. Vigilance is this awakeness with just this little dollop of fear mixed in. And then that vigilance starts to become watchfulness. Then it becomes hypervigilance. Then it becomes suspicion. If you take it far enough, it becomes paranoia. See how that would work? That's a little example of how the levels work. The important thing to know when you're six is once the anxiety is like the awakeness without presence. The anxiety is the awakeness without presence. We feel the disconnect. We feel like, you know, our legs are going in circles in midair, right? We feel that we're disconnected. It's an organic response. Now, when you start, it's also been often said that fear is awakeness without, oh no, fear is excitement without breathing. Fear is excitement without breathing, right? You ever notice when you're scared, you're not too drowsy. You're not out to lunch. Generally speaking, when you're scared, you're like, what's that? What's that? Right? We're with it, right? So as with the 8, 9, and 1, you need to learn to sort of understand how anger isn't your enemy. 5, 6, and 7, you need to learn how fear is not your enemy. But you have to learn what it is and be with it. I could say, well, you've got to get rid of your fear. Well, lots of luck again. All right? And so the passion of the six is just this constant state of anxiety and feeling ungrounded. That it's like your heart is buzzing. And that's kind of always there. You might be putting on a brave face and doing what you got to do. You might be doing bungee jumping so it won't bug you anymore just to get out of your head, whatever. But that buzz, that anxiety is just the signal of your own disconnect from the presence. And it's a close cousin to the awakeness. So what do we do when we feel that anxiety? Breathe, breathe. Be with it. And then it sort of spreads out and becomes this field of lightness. You know, try it. Don't just take Russ's word. Repeat the experiment. See if what I'm saying is true. Sixes are good skeptics too, which is helpful. You got to find out if it's true for you. Here is the area I was talking about earlier, the difference between secondhand faith and firsthand faith. You got to make it your own. You got to see if what those wise people that you love and those books you've read that you love are actually true in your experience. And even if they are, how they're true in your experience. Does this make sense? It's part of the sixth journey. I get all kind of into that energy where I'm up here talking about it. I got to run it to tell you about it. So the passion is this anxiety, and it's not just fear, because, you know, if a rhino came in here or a bunch of rabid dogs, we'd all have fear, and it would be normal to do so. The body will say fight or flight, the glands get activated, the nerves, and you'll do some behavior based on a danger, right? That's normal. Anxiety is when you're sitting here as if there were rabid dogs or a rhino coming in here. And there ain't no rhino, right? But you're thinking, what if a rhino came in here? That's the mental part. That's the fixation. The fixation, the passion always go together. But here, that kind of worrying, doubting mind is the mind keeping the passion going. They feed each other. They all do that. I'm just using the six as an example where, you know, suddenly you're just thinking, oh, there are layoffs at the company. Wonder if I'll be next. Oh, my wife just gave me that look that could mean she's thinking about a divorce. Oh, I think the kids really hate me now. Oh. The thing is, we start thinking that way. It keeps the anxiety. And to your nervous system, it's as if those things were actually happening. When you're a six, your life could actually be pretty good, but you're telling yourself all the ways it could fall apart, so it feels like it is falling apart. Does this make sense? It's like we keep ourselves scared. And part of the reason we do that is, I think sixes get the sense that keeping myself keyed up like that will keep me on top of things. Like fear is the false way I try to be with that wakefulness. Like I'm like a guard trying to stay on duty and make sure my world doesn't fall apart. Does that make sense? And I get addicted to that sort of adrenal pumped up sensibility to keep me awake and dealing with stuff. How I always see it is like people very seldom think that if you're calm and relaxed and in a, just a pleasant state, that you'll deal well with problems. Like, we don't think, let me get calm now and look at my problems. We think, no, you gotta be worried and fret and talk about it like this, because that means you're taking it seriously, you know? It's interesting that we think that. But it all leads back to this guidance. It all leads back to this awakeness that is always here. So as the six starts to see that, to breathe through that fear and anxiety, and just stay here and reconnects with that awakeness, the virtue arises of courage. Courage. Now, courage is not the same as counterphobia, which is going against your fear and some sort of impulsive activity, trying to get your mind to shut up by doing stuff. Right? It's not that. Nor is it, I've often said, people will use the example of a soldier falling on a grenade to save his buddies. I say that's love. You fall on that grenade because you love your friends. You want to save them. What's the courage spoken of here? My friends, it takes courage to show up. It takes courage to live in truth. It takes courage to stop hiding in our ego delusions and live in the living daylight of this moment and say, I am here and I am willing to be here and stay here right where I am in this crazy world as who I really am and not make excuses. Anybody find that easy to do? Think of how much, if we could take everybody in here, how much we actually know about the truth of spirit, the truth of grace, the truth of Holy Spirit, the truth of presence. We all know. Yet, we think of all the excuses you make in your mind. Well, you know, you can't really do that in the real world. What's happening? We chicken out. Now, it's not going to help us to blame ourselves about that. But to hold that too in compassion and see it and understand it. Understand it in the sense of letting it be illuminated. What would it mean for me to take my stand and say, what must I do? See? Knowing with the true faith, nothing bad can happen ultimately. The victory is already won. Haven't we been told that? See what courage that takes. That's what you're invited to, sixes. Does that seem like worth getting up in the morning? How many sixes we got in here? All right. Oh, great. Well, thank you.